6 p.m. GRUEN, Gruen Precision Watch Time. The Curvex, exclusive with Gruen. WEAF, NBC in New York.
Good evening, everybody. This is Lyle Vann with a 6 o'clock report from the NBC newsroom presented by Planters Mixed Nuts. In the headlines, the Allies are discussing Japan's offer of surrender, provided they can keep their emperor. No indication from official sources on whether Hirohito must go. Premature celebrations around the world greet the first word of Japan's decision. I'll be back with a full news report. First, here's Jack Costello.
Your daughter will be the envy of her friends when she wears the lovely charm bracelet Planters Mixed Nuts are offering her. At almost no cost, Planters offer a handsome charm bracelet complete with 6 charms. The charms are made of lightweight plastic in a variety of bright summer colors, and these gay charms hang from a sturdy chain of gold-finished metal links. This charm bracelet's yours from Planters for just 10 cents. Simply buy a jar of Planters Mixed Nuts. Your family and your serviceman will enjoy these delicious combinations of crisp salted almonds, cashews, peanuts, and pecans or filberts. And for the bracelet, mail the label with 10 cents to Planters Mixed Nuts, care of this station. Now the day's news by Lyle Vann.
The Allied powers are considering Japan's offer to surrender. 3 years and 8 months after Pearl Harbor, 6 days after the first use of our atom bomb, 48 hours after Russia's declaration of war. The White House tells us in an official statement the latest word on the surrender proceedings. Our government, through regular diplomatic channels, is in communication with Great Britain, Soviet Russia, and China regarding the Japanese surrender offer. The statement read by President Truman's press secretary, Charles G. Ross, that's all. There is no indication of the official attitude toward the Japanese request that Emperor Hirohito be allowed to keep his throne, the only request made by Tokyo short of unconditional surrender. The White House statement issued at 3:30 p.m. climaxes a day of feverish activity. Cabinet ministers, Secretary Burns, Secretary Stimson, Secretary Forrestal meeting 3 times with President Truman. Streets leading to the White House blocked off. Governments meeting in London. Former Prime Minister Churchill going to sit with Prime Minister Attlee's cabinet in Chongqing and in Moscow. The Japanese offer making its slow progress around the world after its first broadcast by the Tokyo radio. Confirmed by NBC at Stockholm, where it was transmitted by the Swedish envoy. Other confirmation from Bern as the surrender offer moved through Swiss official circles. And finally, the official acknowledgement in Washington that the surrender is being studied. The widest speculation, of course, is on the possibility that the Japanese may be allowed to keep their emperor. The Italian surrender and retention of the House of Savoy was cited to show that the Allies have no ideological scruples about retaining the royal family. One report says the U.S. is ready to leave the little ruler on the throne. And some London sources are quoted as saying Britain favors keeping hands off the emperor. But tonight, other London sources are quoted as saying Hirohito has been outlawed as a war criminal by the Chinese government, making his continuance impossible. But all speculation as to the official attitude of the Allied governments is just that, speculation. No hint direct from the chiefs of state whether the offer will be accepted. Meanwhile, the shooting war goes on. Full steam. Surrender or no surrender, the Russians are rolling ahead with amazing speed in northwestern Manchuria, advancing 110 miles in less than 48 hours of fighting, driving from Manchuli and capturing the rail center of Hailar, deep within the Pubat province, moving down the rail line that leads to the heart of Manchuria. Moscow's second communique tells of 2 new penetrations across the border. The campaign in the east is reported going smoothly, overrunning fortified Jap cities in the area northwest of Vladivostok, and the communique clearly indicates the Japanese are offering only slight resistance so far. The Tokyo radio, meanwhile, says the Red Banner Army has begun attacking on 2 other fronts, in Korea and on Sakhalin Island, directly north of Honshu, a report partly borne out by Russian correspondents who say the Red Fleet has gone into action. And the super fortresses, 160 strong, each with its Mustang fighter escort, keep to the air, going through the 5th straight day, returning to the Tokyo area to blast the Tokyo arsenal and the Amasagi oil refinery, which once produced most of Japan's aviation gasoline. No opposition, all the B-29s returning safely. And the 3rd Fleet's planes are still blasting away at northern Honshu for the second day of renewed attack, while Nagasaki is still burning and smoke-shrouded from the second atomic bomb attack, like an erupting volcano to flyers who approached within 10 miles of the shattered city. The Japs have lodged a formal protest against the bombing of Hiroshima. Charge it's a violation of international law. In an article in the New York Times today, General David Sarnoff, president of the Radio Corporation of America, reveals how the atomic bomb has changed the whole conception of offensive and defensive war. General Sarnoff's article, written early in July and just now released by the War Department, describes the swift pace of science that made possible the first robot bombs, the guidance of long-range missiles, and the release of atomic energy. Illustrates, with an estimate, that the energy in a glass of water would drive an ocean liner across the Atlantic and back. Reveals that VE Day saved London from destruction by only a 6 months' margin. That the Germans planned to bomb the United States with V-2 rockets, having a range of more than 3,000 miles. General Sarnoff declares no nation, regardless of size, will be invulnerable in the future. A small aggressor nation, armed with the right secret weapon, would be able to destroy the greatest power. There'll be no time for the time-honored rule that there's a defense for any weapon. And General Sarnoff concludes, our great hope for peace lies in the achievement of freedom from fear through man's ingenuity in atomic energy, electronics, chemistry, and the other sciences. Says a third world war would pose a threat to civilization itself. And it's up to man himself to choose between life and death. There's a division in Congress on allowing the Japanese to keep Hirohito. Senator Stewart sums up for one view, says the emperor is a war criminal, and I'd like to see him hung up by his toes. We've got them licked, and I wouldn't give them an inch. Senator Thomas of Utah and Senator Johnson of Colorado urge that the emperor be allowed to keep the throne, say we need him. But most of the lawmakers appear to stand by the original demand of surrender with no conditions, and that includes the emperor. They have the support of General Carlos P. Romulo, the Philippine resident commissioner, who urges no weakening now, calls for elimination of the emperor and every vestige of his regime. First word of the Japanese surrender broadcast brought rejoicing around the world, in all the Allied centers and here at home. London streets jammed with singing crowds, Yanks, Canadians, Aussies dancing with British girls, American WACs leading a parade through the ancient streets waving noisemakers and banners. Soldiers of all nations yelling gleefully, it's all over, the Japs are through. Traffic in Piccadilly Circus tied up in the biggest jam in years. The Chinese in the Soho district were quietest, but in Chungking, the heart of bleeding China, they set off their traditional firecrackers, the jubilant people refusing to wait for a formal pronouncement. Laughing and crying, they cheered every passing jeep of American soldiers. In Manila, General MacArthur went to bed, making no statement, pending clarification. But GIs, headed for Japan, swarmed through the town shouting, "When are we going home?" And on Okinawa, our troops went wild. The air raid sirens screamed an all-clear signal. At the B-29 bases in the Marianas, the broadcast announcement drew cheers from the officers and men who had been delivering the great air blows. Admiral Nimitz made no comment. Over in Berlin, our men were jubilant, though it means no homecoming for most of the occupation forces. The impassive Russians showed no more excitement than they did yesterday when they learned their country had declared war. Here in New York City, while buying orders stirred the stock market, more than 1,400 soldiers, many of them bound for the Pacific, came singing down the gangplanks as the ship's loudspeakers blared out the news. And at Skeny Atlas, New York, one of the women for whom the war has been the longest, Mrs. Jonathan Wainwright, wife of General Wainwright, who was taken prisoner by the Japs at Corregidor, Mrs. Wainwright, hoping for 4 years that the report was true. A glimmer of the cost of war in lives and ships. The Navy discloses the loss of 108 more vessels, some lost to enemy action, others, as the Navy says, to the perils of the sea. 3 destroyers in the list, the Parrot, the Tucker, and the Wharton. 4 submarines, the new Legato, long overdue, and 3 old pre-war types with numeral designations, the S-27, S-36, and the S-39, making 47 ships lost by the silent service, a total of 431 Navy vessels lost since the beginning of the war. The list is a resume withheld previously for military security. Another Navy announcement, the destroyer escort Underhill has been sunk in Philippine waters. 112 officers and men lost, the Navy says, giving no details of the sinking. The families of all the casualties have been informed. And on the other side of the ledger, the Navy discloses our submarines took part in the isolation of Japan, severing her sea lanes to the continent, and reveals the subs and daring forays have sunk more than 50 enemy vessels there in the inland sea, sending to the bottom 100,000 tons of enemy shipping. Out of the welter of excitement in the nation's capital, government agencies took time to review their plans for after VJ Day. Chairman Krug of the War Production Board has called a meeting of the board tomorrow to outline the program for the most important of the domestic post-war problems, reconversion. Details secret until they've been approved by the War Mobilizer and the other agencies involved, but the overall pattern following the lines laid down by President Truman yesterday. Controls to be relaxed as soon as possible, but only gradually to keep down inflation. Government officials predict an end of gasoline rationing within a few weeks after Japan's final surrender. And travel restrictions will be eased in a few months. And there'll be no mass release of men from the Army and Navy. No immediate end of redeployment to the Pacific. A sharp reduction of shipments, but not a complete halt. The flow will continue so that men of long service can be hurried home for discharge. Selective Service reminds the GI that the duration plus 6 months, the popular expression, is not entirely accurate. That the duration does not end with a surrender, but with a termination of hostilities. And that is a date to be proclaimed by the President or specified by an act of Congress. And there's a good chance the duration will last some time after the official surrender. I'll be back with more news. Now, here's Jack Costello.
Every junior miss wants to have her own jewelry, and here's the perfect jewelry for her. It's the lovely charm bracelet Planters Mixed Nuts are offering at such a bargain. This charm bracelet's the ideal costume jewelry for the younger set. Will set off all your young ladies' colorful summer dresses. The bracelet will stand wear because the chain's made of sturdy pre-war metal links finished in gold, and from these shiny links swing six charms, including statues of Mr. Peanut with his top hat, cane, and monocle, and several miniature peanuts in bright colors. And there's enough room for your daughter to add her own charms if she wants to. You can get this charm bracelet for just 10 cents. Now, here's all you do. Just buy a jar of Planters Mixed Nuts, a grand assortment of crunchy salted cashews, almonds, peanuts, and pecans or filberts. Your serviceman will enjoy a jar, too. And for the bracelet, mail the label from a jar with 10 cents to Planters Mixed Nuts, care of station WEAF, New York. Allow 10 days for delivery. Ladies, wait till you taste salad dressing made from Planters Hi-Hat Peanut Oil. You'll wish you'd tried it before. Hi-Hat Peanut Oil is grand for frying and baking, too. Is refined by the makers of Planters Peanuts. Now back to Lyle Vann for the rest of the news.
The latest car in that railroad collision at Michigan, North Dakota, puts the toll at 34 known dead, 50 other persons injured, 10 seriously. 18 of the dead have been identified as members of the armed services. No names have been released. At his home in Bonham, Texas, House Speaker Sam Rayburn said simply that the war situation now had reached the stage of watchful and hopeful waiting. And now for the baseball scores. The Yankees romped over Cleveland 10-4 and gained ground as Boston shut out the Tigers 9-0. Chicago beat Washington 6-3. Philadelphia and St. Louis play tonight. In the National League, the Dodgers walloped Cincinnati again 9-4. The Cardinals downed the Giants 5-2. And Boston nosed out the Cubs 2-1. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are down for a night twin bill. And the weather forecast for New York City and vicinity, clear tonight. Lowest temperature about 65 in town and 55 in the suburbs. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high around 85. Temperature at present is 83 degrees. And if you tuned in late, here's the big headlines. The Allies are discussing Japan's offer of surrender, provided they can keep their emperor. But no indication from official sources on whether Hirohito must go. And that's the 6 o'clock report. This is Lyle Vann saying good night until tomorrow night.
Lyle Vann brings you the day's news every weekday night at this same time, presented Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays by Planters Mixed Nuts.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
...6:15 p.m. Eastern Wartime. This is WEAF, New York.